Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday, I finished answering the last question in our Q&A series. Today, I will be clearing up a statement that I made that might have misled some people. So let's close out the week on that statement. Now, I have one other thing here that I want to clear up before we close this. And someone was listening to a broadcast of mine, and they had a question, and several people had the same thing. And I believe, going back and listening to it, that I understand why they had the question. And what I said it very badly, but it is not the way I believe, but you would think I believe that way. And what it was this. In the teaching, I was saying that Jesus went and suffered for us in hell. Now, Jesus did not suffer in hell, okay? And so, I did say, I do believe that a man in hell will suffer in his spirit, but Jesus suffered in his spirit on the cross more than any man will suffer in hell, because he had the fullness of all the wrath of Almighty God poured out upon him when he became sin for us, and all that wrath was poured out upon his human spirit. Listen to it. It sounded like that's exactly what I said, and I didn't mean it that way. So I appreciate people writing and saying what you said was false so that I can straighten it out. So, let me just say this. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." By that, he meant all the punishment was now complete. Everything was finished, and he gave up the ghost. We also know that when he died, he said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In the Old Testament, before the ascension of Christ into heaven, we could say that there were four compartments there dealing with the dead. There was paradise where believers would go, their spirit would go when they died. Then there was a great gulf. Then there was Hades. That's where unsaved people's, their spirits would go. And of course you read about that one in the rich man in Luke chapter 16. But then there was Tartarus. Now, you say, what is Tartarus? You know, sounds like tartar sauce. No, that's what 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the spirits in hell is talking about Tartarus, the very lowest place. It's a punishment that is much worse than even in Hades, the fire that those people are in. It's even worse than that. That's why at Gadarene, that the man that had the legion of devils, and Jesus was going to cast them out, those devils plead with Jesus, "Let us go into that herd of swine." Of course, the herd of swine runs down and jumps in the lake and drowns. They'd much rather drown than to be filled with the devil's dirt, and that's swine. Okay, but said, so these guys find out that Jesus preached to the spirits in prison. We're not told what he preached, but he preached to them. But because he went there, does not mean that he was punished there. As a matter of fact, across the great gulf, the rich man was able to see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here. Let him put his finger in water and touch my tongue, because I'm tormented in this flame." And, of course, Abraham says, "No, they that come to you from here can't, and those come to here from there can't." And so, Jesus preached to the spirits in prison, but I know that since he paid the penalty in full, he may have preached from paradise, but if he went there in spirit, there was no suffering or anything for him where the spirits that were chained in Tartarus are. And so again, Jesus suffered the fullness of our penalty on the cross. Now, again, on the cross, the first 3 hours, we see his body bleeding, a bloody mass, a pulp. Just terrible what they did to his body. But that was a picture for men to see what our sin deserved, and our body reflected that. But it was the last 3 hours when the skies turned dark and God the Father poured out all his wrath on the human spirit of Jesus Christ. You see, the first 3 hours, men did what they could do. But the last 3 hours, God did what man couldn't do, poured out the fullness of wrath on the human spirit of Christ. And for 3 hours, he endured it until he paid it all. And so, Jesus did pay it all, my friend. And so, again, Jesus did not actually go to the suffering of hell, but he did go down to paradise. We read in Ephesians chapter 4 that he took captivity captive. That means that those that were down in paradise, he took them up. Now, paradise is where we call the third heaven. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And so, that's where it is today, so that when a soul dies, instead of going down, it goes up. Before then, it went down. Why? Because Jesus had not come and died, and he's the first fruit. So, not only of our physical resurrection, but also of our spirits caught up to be in heaven. So, again, I want you to understand, I listened to that tape again. It sounded, that's like exactly what I taught, and evidently I misled some people, because I am wrong on that. I am totally wrong on that. It's not what I believe. It's not what I believed then, but evidently, I taught it that way, but it was not the way I meant. I meant that Jesus did preach to the spirits in prison, but his suffering was on the cross. So please, if you heard me say that, let's get that thing clear, because that would be a false doctrine if that's what I really held to and believed. Now, having said all of that, these are the questions now for this year, and we've tried to teach them to you and answer your questions. And again, you can ask questions each throughout the year. You can email me or through our website, or you can write us at the physical address our announcer gives you at the end of each day's broadcast. And listen, I don't answer them right away sometimes. Sometimes you get it back the next day. Sometimes it might be months. And we've got a radio station. We've got a Christian school. We've got a Bible Institute. We've got various things with children and other programs that we have here. So I have got a very full schedule. And when a guy is getting close to 70 years old, just a few months away from that now, it's just not able to quite go as much as I used to, but we try to answer your questions as we are able to do so. So we will do that. So keep those questions coming. We do like to answer those, because, as I said, several of these questions today are that we had this December are questions that several people asked, and so I was able to take probably one letter and use that one letter to answer the question that many may have had. But the other things were just on this last issue about the cross. That was a mistake on my part to say that Jesus went to hell and suffered there too. He did not. And after listening to that, I said, how in the world did I say that? That is totally, totally wrong. And so I'm straightening that out right now, and I want you to know that. Now, having said that, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now notice, the Bible says God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Not just a select group, no, all men. Now, when the Bible says all men, since every word is God-breathed, it means all men. There's no symbolism in this verse. So he says that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent because, here's the reason why, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, and how? By that man whom he hath ordained. What man is that he's ordained? whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Of course, that is Jesus Christ. So, as in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, that he said, repentance towards God, because all sin is against God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, faith in the work that he did on the cross, paid the penalty in full for all of our sin, simply and just as the Bible says it did. Now, to deny that, you've got to say God lies, and God doesn't lie. So, repentance. Every human being born into this world needs to repent. What good, though, is it to say, well, I just said I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved? What good is confession without repentance if it doesn't change our attitude or actions? Now, I've heard people say, well, repentance means a change of mind. Well, a change of mind leads to action. For an example, if I say I am going to drive over to the West Coast today, and then all of a sudden something comes up and I have a change of mind. I say, oh, wait a minute, I need to go over to the East Coast. All right? Now, that affects what I do. So I've repented from going west and I'm going east. The Bible talks of God repenting, not from sin, but a change of what he was going to do. And so, yes, it is a change of mind. It's changing from depending on myself, my good works, or anything else to get me to heaven, and turning to Jesus Christ alone and his sacrifice on the cross. So it should change because I'm coming to him. The Bible likens it to marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, he said he spoke of Christ and the church, or the believer, in other words. So what he meant there was that marriage, the salvation is not likened unto marriage. Marriage is likened unto salvation. When I got married, I repented. That is, I turned from every girlfriend I'd ever had and turned to one person, my lovely wife. And she's been my wife for almost 50 years now. But when I made that decision, that meant to thee and to thee only. Till death do us part. Good thing about it, when you turn to Christ and you enter that kind of relationship, he is from everlasting to everlasting, and so he gives you eternal life, and so that's something that will never be divorced, okay? You'll always belong to him once you've given him your heart and life. But remember, just like marriage, he is the head, and we are to be submitted to him, and we come to him in that attitude. I've always wondered about people that said they're getting saved, and they get saved, and then they won't follow the very first command after salvation to be baptized. There's something wrong with that. Something definitely wrong with that. So what good is confession without repentance? If it doesn't change one's attitude or actions, what good is it? Now, we can continually confess sin and do nothing about it. The saying, confession is good for the soul, is actually another lie of the devil. The devil's lies always seem to be somewhat true.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Bible.